We are back on Dateline Washington. This is the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Stephen Malanga, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. In a piece published by RealClearMarkets.com, Mr. Malanga says that the Chrysler situation shows just the tip of the iceberg in how the Obama administration plans to address the ailing economy and especially the auto industry. And Steve, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
What exactly are you most worried about here? You say in the piece that it's clear that bureaucrats like the head of the EPA as well as President Obama believe that ideas from the top down in the federal government are the best way to save the auto industry. Just how meddlesome could this get?
Well, see, I think if you really want to save the industry, it's going to have to get very meddlesome because, see, an industry is about more than just the company in it. It's about the consumers, in this case, the American consumer. It's about the competition. The government doesn't have control over the competition, at least at this point. It's about the courts. It's about contracts and vendors. And many of those things are working against Chrysler right now. And so the thing that really sort of set me off in writing this piece is that I noticed that the head of the Environmental Protection Agency said last week that, you know, American car companies need to start making cars that Americans want, and it's up to the EPA to set standards so these car companies will know what kind of cars Americans want. And that's really not the way our economy typically works. Our car companies don't sit around waiting for the federal government to tell them what kind of cars to make. So we're going to a new model here where it's not the consumer that seems to matter, it's the American government. And you know, I get a sense from that that maybe they understand or maybe they don't, that in order to save a company like Chrysler and GM, they're going to have to pull a lot of different levers, and you just wonder how much manipulating of the economy they're actually going to attempt.
One of the things we've seen just today, Steve, is Ford announce a massive dedication, massive commitment in terms of money and resources to building smaller, more fuel-efficient cars, and part of that might be the demand caused by $4 a gallon gas in recent years. But is that also them just realizing what the government's going to be up to in the years ahead, even though they're not, obviously, under as much government control since they're not taking government funds?
Well, I think they very much are, because as you know right now, we had $4 gasoline last summer, but it's already down to under $2. At least I paid under $2 last time I bought gas a couple of days ago. So the gas prices remain highly volatile. But here's the point. You know, this is where I imagine that government manipulation might have to continue. Because, you see, the reason American car companies have never succeeded with selling fuel-efficient cars is because fuel-efficient cars are smaller cars. Those smaller cars tend to be less expensive cars. American car companies, who have the highest worker costs of any car companies in the world, have never been able to make money on those smaller cars. That's why they emphasized SUVs and minivans and that part of the marketplace, because with the extraordinary cost per car, they couldn't make money on the smaller cars. So if the government drives everyone in the direction of smaller cars, what is the government going to do about the worker costs of American car companies? It's going to have to figure out a way to cure that, too, or it's just going to drive the American companies out of business.
Let me have you answer your own question. How do you think they're going to address the worker issue, since a lot of analysts believe that the workers, at least through the unions, got a pretty good deal on the government's prescription for Chrysler? What do you sense will happen there and some other tinkering the government may have to do?
Well, you see, this is exactly the point. The workers did get a good deal so far. The concessions they made were very minimal. For instance, the Chrysler workers have now agreed that they won't be eligible to collect overtime until they work 40 hours a week. Well, most people don't collect overtime until they work 40 hours a week. But at Chrysler, you know, it's like you didn't have to work 40 hours a week to collect overtime. It's a different model. So they really haven't made major concessions yet. What this means is that while the government has helped temporarily save the company, once Fiat takes over and starts selling their cars in the United States under the Chrysler brand, they're still going to have the cost disadvantage. What's the government going to do next? I don't know. Maybe tax credits. Maybe they'll give tax credits to Americans for buying Chrysler cars. Would that lower the cost of a Chrysler car? I mean, it's the kind of thing that the government's never done before. It has, you know, major implications, but how else will the government succeed in this case? I don't know. It'll be very interesting to see.
Steve, unfortunately, that'll have to be the last word. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Stephen Malanga is a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. His article on this subject appears today on realclearmarkets.com. That does it for this edition of Dateline Washington, a presentation of Radio America. Thanks to executive producer Jim Roberts. Check us out online, dateline.radioamerica.org. I'm Greg Corumbus. Please join me tomorrow for Dateline Washington.